While he's setting up, I'll introduce our next virtual speaker, who is Dr. David Prokrajec. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He is a professor of computer science at Delaware State University in Dover, where he does research on data mining, video analysis, image processing, and applied mathematics. A native of Croatia, he is also interested in South Slavic history, in particular sound recordings. His presentation today focuses on the various collections of these South Slavic recordings. Give a virtual round of applause for Mr. Prokrajec while I start up his presentation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Prokrajec from Delaware State University. I'm going to present on audio recordings as sources of history of South Slavic nations. Before I proceed further, I would like to apologize for not being able to present this in person due to financial reasons. Before I proceed further, I would like to discuss a bit what is a historic audio recording. In general, when we talk about historical audio recordings, we think about several topics. First, normally we would consider a historic audio recording which originated in past, which is old, so that its existence represents some interesting facts. Also, what is important is who was recording. As we will see from the examples in this presentation, usually the persons who were recorded were dignitaries or prime ministers, the heads of the states, and so on and so forth. But we are equally interested also in recordings of ordinary people, because from the way how they talk, about what they talk, we could figure out a lot about the circumstances in which they live. Also, what is important is which events were recorded. For instance, there are known historic recordings of, for instance, the Hindenburg Zeppelin, or for instance, the start of World War II, or the announcement of a war by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and so on and so forth. And finally, what is interesting is whether the material is rare. Usually, historic recordings from, for instance, before Second World War or First World War even are extremely rare, and therefore they could be considered historic by themselves. In this presentation we are concerned about the Balkans. The Balkans is a peninsula in the southeast part of Europe and currently consists of a number of countries, and the situation there changes basically every once in a while. It's the region where the political situation has never been calm. It's the place where the nations hate each other. And recently some parts of the Balkans, for instance Romania and Bulgaria, and Greece of course, joined the European Union. But in past this territory used to belong to Turkey, which is basically a country on the far east part of the Balkan Peninsula, while the western parts of the Balkans belong to the Austro-Hungary and Austria. On one side, this actually represents a great challenge for historians to explain the situation there. On the other side, this resulted in great variety of folklore and cultures which are intermixed in the region. Since I'm originally from Serbia and I'm actually born in Croatia, I would concentrate here the most on recordings from Serbia or related to Serbia. Generally, historical audio recordings of South Slavic nations can be divided according to the media and also according to the type of recording. So, historic recordings can be found on commercial carriers. Several examples are included here, and some of them we will hear later in the presentation. Also, radio recordings. Unfortunately, not too many exist because of technical reasons and because of political reasons for destroyed a number of archives, as well as private recordings. when somebody wants to do research on the audio recordings of our Slavic countries, the logical places to look for resources for recordings are various libraries, museums, and archives. Surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, we found a great collection of previously unknown recordings in the Library of Congress. Also, the German sound archives, Deutsches Rundfunkarchiv, actually contains a great collection of some recordings from the period which we are interested in. Also museums, for instance, Museum of Performing Arts or Ethnography Museum in Belgrade, and other museums in the Balkan countries contain or may contain some of the historical recordings. We found great collection of pre Second World War recordings in the Czech radio archives, Archivnie programové fondy Čecho rozhlasí. That my futile attempt to speak or to read the name of the archives in Czech. Further, some recordings are preserved on archival tapes on Balkan public radio stations. These are not original, these are usually not original recordings of these stations, but due to the exchange of audio material, some of these radio stations are now in possession of some archival material. Also, as we already pointed out, there is a possibility of the existence of luckier in this holding. For instance, an official document from Serbia Public Radio from 2008 indicates they have a couple of thousands of lacquers in their funds. Our attempt to actually get inspected this were not successful up to now. Also, we believe that the radio stations such as the British Broadcasting System and other bigger European stations also may contain some of the materials related to the Balkan country. Finally, private collections, which would either contain the commercial recordings or, in some cases, private recordings, may be very interesting for this research. Here we will hear one of the commercial recordings containing a propaganda speech of Field Marshal Petrozet Borojevic to army of the Hungarian Empire. On the Isonzo front. Isonzo, or Sochen, Slovenian, was a battlefield between Italians who were in the first war on the side of the Entente and the central forces, among them the Austro-Hungarian. And Svetozar Borojevic, by himself, is of Serbian origin, although on the Balkans it's has a lot of other things disputed. He served in the Austro-Hungarian army and died in poverty in Klagenfurt in 1920. Here we will hear now the part of the recording from Carl Lindstrom's record from 1960, preserved in German broadcasting archives. in the German broadcasting archives, we found a great example of an early radio report from the funeral of King Alexander Karađorđević. King Alexander Karađorđević, who was a sovereign of Yugoslavia, was murdered on the 9th of October 1934 in Marseille, in France, by international terrorists. That was a big event in Europe of that time, and for his funeral there were a lot of international dignitaries, including the German Marshal Göring. The German radio made a report of this funeral, consisting of several parts from Belgrade and then from the city of Topola, where the king was buried in a church. What is really interesting is that obviously the author of this document did some editing. So basically, he merged the audio sources which were recorded at different places in different times. I think this is a very nice example of editing, especially in these early days of radio. The funeral itself was well announced. This is the copy of the program of the funeral, which we found in the holdings of Serbian National Library. And basically, a historian may, by following this program and following the content of the audio document, really match what happened there and actually match particular events from the audio document with the actual announced events of the funeral. This is the copy of the catalog card from German broadcasting archives, and from here we can learn that the reporter here was Edward Roderick Deeds, who was later famous for his radio reporting during the Second World War. The card contains the detailed content of the report. First, the report from a cathedral in Belgrade, and then a Serbian patriarch Varnava, is the Requiem in Serbian, which is the only known recording of Patriarch Varnava. After that, there's some recording of international dignitaries and state persons, and along with Göring, which is clearly stated in this card. After that, in the original reportage, which lasts 18 minutes 10 seconds, we can hear actually 24 minutes. We can hear the part of March of Chopin, and then there is a report from the actual funeral in Topola. Now we will hear a part of this report. Another interesting document which we found in the German broadcasting archive is something which we would love to call the first Eurosong. Namely, on the new year of 1937, more precisely on the 3rd of January 1937, there was a concert of European radio stations, which was basically UIR, which is International Broadcasting Union. Okay, it was announced in European radio magazines. On the next slide, we will actually see the actual announcement of this program on different European radio stations, from Radio Ljubljana, which is a Slovenian radio journal. It was transmitted from Germany. Basically, the program started such that the announcer from Germany announced the program in French. And then the roll call of European stations, the members of UIR, started. It started with Austria and basically ended with Germany, which was the host of the event. After each country's name was called, announcer from a particular radio station replied, and then they played the folk music from a particular country. Why this is of historic importance, not only to European radio diffusion, but also to Balkan nations, is that this is the first recording of what we believe is the Radio Symphony Orchestra of the Belgrade Radio. Now, what we believe, we don't know for sure, because the informations about the performance are really not complete. Much less there are informations about the actual piece which was performed. On the original catalog card, it is stated that this is a folk dance from South Serbia, arranged for orchestra. And another historical problem would be that the South Serbia at that time could mean either really what is now a southern part of Serbia, or what is now a country of Macedonia. The composer or arranger of this piece for orchestra is not known. Why we call this a Eurosong? We call this Eurosong because at those times, with very limited technical possibilities, which was basically just a network or telephone network, they were able to have a smooth program which lasted total of 30 minutes. I was present on a live radio broadcast in Belgrade 2006 when we actually tried to do something kind of similar. Basically, from a radio station, we tried to call people around the world by telephone, and it didn't go smooth at all. So basically, something which could be difficult to do, to say real time in a live broadcast now, was obviously possible at the times and the technology of the late 30s. Now we will hear a piece of this what's called first Eurosong. Among the examples we found in the Library of Congress, the most important, I believe, is the recordings named Yugoslavia Salute the New York World Fair. It was broadcast from Belgrade Radio, it was production of Belgrade Radio, shortwave Belgrade Radio, on the 5th of March of 1939. In the United States, it was broadcast by Embassy Red Network. On this recording, we can hear the only preserved speech of Prince Paul of Yugoslavia, as well one of the few speeches of the Prime Minister Cvetković, and the only known speech of Minister Tomic. As a curiosity, the Prince Paul speaks English since he was educated in Great Britain. We also can hear performance of symphony orchestra and folk musicians, and a rare and the only known Second World War recording of Ivna Radić. Another interesting thing, we identified one more singer, which is Vuka Čeherović. What is interesting, unfortunately I wouldn't play this recording here. Vuka Čeherović has a total of about 7 recordings. 4 from 1956 Belgrade radio recordings. One phonograph records and one TV recording from 1976. So basically there is no known pre-Second World War recording of Vuka, and neither a number of recordings is too huge. That's why this discovery we believe is very important. So finally we hear unknown singers singing Slovenian and Dalmatian songs, and we are in process of identification. Now let's hear Prince Paul from Belgrade. That was Ivna Radić, later Djokovic, Serbian singer, operatic singer and singer of folk dances, who was recorded in the recording of Yugoslavia Salute the World Fair from 1939. In the archives of Czech radio, we found examples of various speeches and radio program regarding to the Sokol meeting in Prague, 1938. SOCO was association which is basically a patriotic association, pan-Slavic association devoted to development of soul and body. So kind of similar to YMCA but with a little bit different ideology. And there were gatherings of SOCO in Prague, which was basically the world center of the movement. Since that time, Yugoslavia had a great relationship with the Czechoslovakia, actually Czechoslovakian Republic. There is no wonder that Yugoslavian SOCOs participating in these events. The archives of Czech radio contain a number of examples from arrival of Yugoslav SOCOs to the Czechoslovakian Republic, to the interviews of a random SOCO from the Prague streets, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, we cannot play these examples in this presentation. From the archives of the Library of Congress, we discovered several recordings of King Peter. King Peter II was the last king of Yugoslavia, who was overthrown by communists in 1945. He visited the United States in 1942 and met President Roosevelt, met the elderly Serbian-American scientist Nikola Tesla, whom we see here, left from King Peter. And King Peter also met with some Yugoslav workers in an airplane factory in Michigan, and this recording was preserved and is preserved in the Library of Congress. Also, the King Peter gave speech in front of the American U.S. Senate, and we will now hear an example of this recording. Hope you enjoyed this interesting example of the commercial from the 50s, an attempt of communist Yugoslavia to deliver their version of truth to American public. And I hope that you believe that my English is still better than the English of Rafa Ivančević, the consul in Los Angeles. At the end of this presentation, I would like to thank Mr. Steven Zobarić and other people who helped us in arranging all of this, especially Mr. Andrea Thurl from Deutsche Rundfunk Archives. And finally, if you want to contact us via our emails, we will be very happy to answer all of your questions. Have a nice day.